Buenas and half a day to our listeners on Guam and in the CNMI. It's now time for Total Health right here on Joy FM Radio, where your questions get answered by health professionals. If you have any health-related questions, we would love to hear from you. Call your questions and comments in at 472-1111 or text or WhatsApp 686-9999. If you're in the CNMI, please call 323-1113. Welcome, everybody, to Total Health.
Hi, and welcome to Total Health. My name is Rose Trina, and I'm here in the studio today with Elena Tanova, a nurse practitioner at the Guam SD Clinic, and Katie Yamamuro, a physical therapist. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yay. Good. I got it right. Today, we're talking about fall prevention, and I think that this is really relevant. I know that it would definitely benefit our listeners, but a lot of us don't think about falls. So could you tell us a little bit about today's topic?
Oh, definitely. So falls, usually something that we don't really think that much about when we're younger, something we start thinking more about as we age, and traditionally looked upon as kind of an old people problem. It's something that happens, you know, to the elderly. But, you know, people fall at every age, right? Mm-hmm. for different reasons.
Yep.
But it usually becomes more of a concern as we get older and can definitely be more problematic. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, and that's why we're talking about it, because it can be a problem for many people. And prevention is almost always better than treatment. So mm-hmm. fall prevention is what we're going to focus on.
Yes, so as far as I know, each year there are so many people that fall down, and there is not really a great statistic that follows patients, how many they fall at home or on the street, or what are the reasons for that. The latest one that I have, it's from 2011, that says that many Americans fall at home. And because of that, they become disabled. And in 2011, nearly 23,000 people and of the age of 65 actually died because of a fall. That's pretty serious. I don't know what's the statistic about Guam, mm-hmm. but nobody's insured, you know, from a fall. And 2.4 million were treated actually in the emergency department because of falls.
Right.
So it's something that we certainly need to dedicate a good amount of time to talk about, because prevention from a fall, it's manageable, mm-hmm. and it's the falls are preventable, and it's a really easy way to fix things mm-hmm. way ahead of time, as you said, than to treat them. And so do you have any other insight about why the fall prevention should be taken into consideration for everyone?
Yes, and you know, I'm glad you had those statistics, and kind of what it boils down to is about 20% of elderly, that's over 65,
wow.
Fall each year. And so that's one in five. That's one in five of the people we know over the age of 65 that are going to fall each year statistically. So yeah, we definitely want to pay attention to this. Risk factors. Being over 65 is a risk factor. People that have trouble standing up from a chair, that's a risk factor. People that have a tendency to kind of hold onto the wall as they walk down the hallway, that's another risk factor. You know, we shouldn't think of it as a normal part of aging, even though it's associated with mm-hmm. aging. However, it's not a normal part of aging. And that's why we need to really look at it closely, because if we think it's normal, then we don't really want to, I mean, we don't need to do anything about it, right? But it's not normal. It's preventable. So that's why we want to look at that. Another interesting fact is that women are more likely to fall than men. Women are also more likely to be injured when they fall.
Oh.
However, there is, it kind of goes both ways, because men who fall are more likely to result in death. So both genders have their risk factors, and so we want to look at it. You know, everybody, especially over or close to the age of 65, should pay attention.
Katie, would you suggest that somebody doesn't hold to the wall, or they or they should hold to the wall if they're going downstairs?
That doesn't mean that that's a bad thing to hold onto the wall, but it shows that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that there's some weakness, there's some balance deficits, so those need to be addressed. Obviously, if the person is unsteady and they need to hold onto the wall, then they should hold onto the wall. But they want to address those deficits, the balance problems, the strength problems, so that they can get better and not have to hold onto the wall.
Yeah, I heard a talk of an athlete that he was 85 years old, and he said, most of the, my age friends, they always say, I cannot keep up with my grandkids. Mm-hmm. But he said, my grandkids cannot keep up with me. So you're very right that we shouldn't associate falls with age.
Mm-hmm.
And we should really work to the point that every adult above 65 years of age could have an abundant life and mm-hmm. just really live a risk-free or like fall-free life to the full.
Right. That is so true. And the point you kind of touched on there is that it's not necessarily a normal part of aging, but as we age, we become less active.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the key. Obviously, that 80 or 85-year-old man you were talking about, he had not become, or at least significantly less active. So he was still maintaining his activity. He was keeping up his balance. He was doing things to challenge himself. So that's a huge factor there in preventing those falls.
Exactly. Because then, you know, if we fall down, we can always say, oh, this is because of age, this is because of that. But we have something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
The more we keep ourselves physically active, the more we strengthen our muscles. For as long as we can do that, mm-hmm. of course, it pays off at the end. When we become in a stage that we really can't do much, it still can prevent us from a fall.
Right.
The last time I had a patient that fell, it was such an unfortunate situation. She was 98. And she was. She decided that she's gonna decorate the whole house for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he climbed on a stair, like
a ladder,
and she fell from it.
Mm.
She had every single bone broken in ICU. I had to take care of her, and we were like, "How? Why? 98?" You know, we were like feeling so bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
She recovered completely, but she went through a lot of pain for those Christmas lights.
Right. Yeah.
I am sure that you will give us some like tips how we can prevent having those things, but. Maybe you can tell us what can cause a fall in general.
Well, you know, there are risk factors that can contribute to setting you up for a fall. There are internal risk factors, which we'll talk more about, and there's also external risk factors. Internal risk factors are more, obviously, as it sounds, inside. Those are things, as our body ages, our bone density changes, usually coordination changes, balance changes, we have a little less strength, our vision usually changes, our reflexes might become a little less acute, our hearing often changes. So those are things, some of them we can do a little something about, some of them we can't do so much about, but those are still internal things that can affect our risk factors. Another internal risk factor would be dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely something we can do more about, and we can talk more about that later on. But then there's also certain diseases that are also associated with old age, like Parkinson's, macular degeneration, heart disease, diabetes, strokes, arthritis. All of those can contribute to increased risk for falls. But then there's external risk factors, too.
And before we go to the externals, mm-hmm. I wanted to touch base on dehydration,
mm-hmm.
because many people at certain age, they prefer not to drink as much water, because if they drink enough water, they have to go to the bathroom. And the more they keep on going to the bathroom, especially at night, the higher the risk of falling, especially at night.
Right.
So how can we keep hydrated at the same time, you know, like reduce our risk of fall?
Excellent. Let's talk about that. So oftentimes I hear older people say, oh, well, I'm just not thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that as their guide. Well, what we don't realize oftentimes is that as we age, we aren't as sensitive to our thirst. We don't feel thirsty, but it doesn't mean we aren't. It just means our body isn't as in tune with our need for water as it once was. So what we need to do, and of course, like you mentioned, you know, I don't like getting up in the night to go to the bathroom either. Who does? but is that really a good enough reason to dehydrate our body and set ourselves up for a fall that could potentially be a whole lot worse for us than, you know, getting up to go to the bathroom? So we want to make sure we're hydrated, even if we do have to get up to go to the bathroom. And learning to drink, whether we're thirsty or not, and that means we need to know how much water our body needs. So what you can do, a simple rule of thumb, is to take your body weight in pounds, divide that in half, and that is your minimum amount of ounces of water that you should drink each day. So in other words, a 160-pound person, for example, would need to drink 80 ounces of water a day. Do you know how many cups that is?
80 pounds should be close to 10, 12.
Okay, that's, yeah, it's 10. 10 mm-hmm. cups of water a day for that size of a person. So obviously, a 140-pound person would drink less. But just divide that, your total weight in pounds, in half, and then that's the number of ounces that you should drink each day. And that's really your minimum.
Right.
If you're outside doing a lot of, you know, gardening or exercise in the hot, you know, tropical air, then you need to drink a little more. So just keep in mind how much you should be drinking each day. If necessary, get a water bottle that size. They have some pretty mammoth water bottles these days.
Yes, nowadays, right.
Or set your glasses of water out at the beginning of the day. But you can monitor how much water you drink. Decide how often you need to be drinking it during the day. Space it out, and you can get the amount that you need. Whether you feel thirsty or not, your body will still appreciate it.
And that's the music, indicating that we're coming up on another break. So, for our listeners out there, if you have any questions or if you would like to add to our topic, go ahead and give us a call. If you're calling from Guam, call us at 671-472-1111. That's 671-472-1111. If you're calling from the CNMI, 670-323-1113. That's 670-323-1113.
Call it being cautious, being concerned, or being situationally aware of bad things that could happen, and it'll still be something God calls fear and anxiety. Even when you give it a new name, God calls it what it is, fear, and then says, stop, don't accept it, don't invite it in. It can take you places you shouldn't go. It can stop you from trusting the God who said, there's no room for fear. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
Jesus was alone at Jacob's well when a woman arrived. She came alone. Jesus asked her for a drink, but she was a Samaritan. Most Jews treated them shamefully. The Samaritans expected a poor reception. This woman had never met Jesus. Yet Jesus told her things about herself she would have preferred to remain hidden. He offered a life change she never believed possible. How could this Jewish man treat her better than the people in her own town? How could he know the shame of her past, yet still offer hope and help? Jesus brought the future to her today. He was more interested in mercy than justice, and it was his kindness that led to another life turned in the best possible direction. When you think your list of offenses are too long and your personal efforts are too short, remember the story of the outcast woman who found mercy when she met Jesus. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
Call it being cautious, being concerned, or being situationally aware of bad things that could happen, and it'll still be something God calls fear and anxiety. Even when you give it a new name, God calls it what it is, fear, and then says, stop, don't accept it, don't invite it in. It can take you places you shouldn't go. It can stop you from trusting the God who said, there's no room for fear. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
This is Marcy, and thanks for listening to Total Health on Joy FM.
We want to hear from you. Call in with your health-related questions at 472-1111. In Guam or in the CNMI, the number to call is 323-1113. Text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. And now, back to the show.
Hi, and welcome back to Total Health Live. My name is Rose Trina, and I'm here in the studio today with Katie Yamamoro and Elena Tanova. They're both healthcare providers. And today, we're talking about fall prevention. Before we went to the break, we were actually talking about water and dehydration and what role dehydration plays in risk for fall, right?
Right.
Could you just review it maybe in like the next 5 seconds and then you can go on?
Okay, yeah. Yes. We were talking about dehydration, and actually it can contribute to falls in a few different ways, but one of the main ones is, you know, like dizziness, and that sort of thing, making the person much more prone to falling. And a way you can tell if you're dehydrated, well, some people actually get a little confused or sluggish when they're dehydrated. But one of the best ways that you can monitor your dehydration is actually checking the color of your urine. And that is the best way. You know, if you just check and it's dark yellow or even a darker color than yellow, then you definitely need to be drinking more water. Your urine should be very pale just about every single time you go during the day. So that's how you can monitor if you're drinking enough water. And, you know, a comment I get a lot is people that say, oh, you know, when I drink water, I have to go to the bathroom so often. You know, I just spend all my day in the bathroom. And so I always try to make sure to tell people that, you know, if you go from not drinking enough water to suddenly drinking enough water, you will need to go to the bathroom more. But your body will adjust. If you maintain a consistency with drinking your amount of water that you know you need to drink, like we just were talking about, knowing how much water you need to drink per day personally, then your body will adjust. In fact, I had a lady in a class I was just teaching recently comment on that. She said, you know, you told me that my body would adjust, and I didn't believe you, but it did. She said it took her about 4 days. So people are different, but about 4 or 5 days, your body will regulate itself, and you'll find that you're not going to the bathroom any more often than you used to. But your body can maintain it now and know how to regulate it. So, and then, of course, getting up at night, you can try to stop drinking your water, get all your water in by like 6 p.m., and that will lessen your chances of having to get up in the night. But if you do have to get up in the night, just consider it a small price to pay for keeping your body healthy. And we're going to talk about getting up at night safely in a few minutes when we move on to the external risk factors. And we had been talking about internal risk factors, and that's how we got off on the dehydration. But external risk factors for falls are environmental hazards. That's actually a huge percentage of falls is due to environmental hazards. We can talk a lot more about that one in just a moment. But also, I should mention a couple more, and one is alcohol. It's
kind of an important
one. It's a very important one, yes. But the risk of hip fractures goes up with the amount of alcohol consumption in the elderly. And then medications also certain medications can increase the risk of falls. And so we can talk more about each of those. Obviously, we need to know. The reason we're here today is to talk about how
we can prevent
how
the
we
fall,
can prevent
exactly.
these things. So, you know, if we could talk maybe about the environmental hazards first, since that's a huge percentage. One of the statistics I have here is from Japan. That's my most recent statistics, since that's where I just lived. But 31% of falls were due to environmental hazards in Japan, and I'm sure the U.S. is probably pretty close to that, too. And, you know, if you think about it, a lot of elderly people especially, live in the same house that they've lived in for probably at least 10 years, sometimes more and even much more than that. And as they age, they don't even think about simple things that they can do to modify their home to make it a little safer. Things they didn't have to worry about when they were 40 years old might be a little bit more of a concern at 70 or 75. So there's definitely some things we can do about that. And one of the things, is actually looking at your floor. Throw rugs are a big cause of trips and falls. So I usually just recommend for folks to just remove the throw rugs. Just take them out. A lot of times they're cute, they're decorative, but they're not worth the falls. If there is a place where you simply must have one, try to make sure that it has some sort of non-skid backing so that it won't be as prone to slide. There's also things, you know, clutter, stacks of papers beside the chair, things like that can all cause us to trip. Cords, you know, like TV cords, phone cords, miscellaneous whatever cords across the room, those are all potential hazards. Even things such as, you know, not having any light switch near where you may sit for a while. Like if a person sits in their chair and watches TV until it gets dark and then needs to get up and there's no light close by, then that could be a hazard. You know, so making sure there's at least a lamp nearby or some sort of switch that can be turned on to provide light. That's another good one.
I also heard that many people at that age, they think of putting a lamp on the both sides of the bed.
Oh, then, yeah, that's true.
At night.
That's
yes,
true.
To be handy and close by.
And things in the kitchen, like having a good sturdy step stool if something needs to be reached that's out of reach. You know, of course, putting commonly used things within reach is helpful, but then also if there is something that needs to be reached, then, you know, having a good sturdy step stool and not just pulling over a chair from the dining room table. And let's see here, you know, in the bedroom, just making sure any drawers are kept closed so you don't, you know, hit yourself on those. Things that could fall on the floor, like say maybe the you just lean the cane up against the chair or something and maybe it falls and lands on the floor and becomes a tripping hazard. And then, of course, in the bathroom and in the kitchen, too, making sure, you know, checking for any water spills, making sure you're aware if there's any water on the floor, getting that cleaned up right away. In the bathroom, making sure that there's a grab bar at the toilet and in the shower, too. Those are good things to help prevent falls.
Like also the use of non-slip rubber mat as well.
Right. Yeah. In the bathroom, it's hard not to have some sort of mat on the floor for getting out of the shower and that sort of thing. So yeah, make sure it's non-slip.
I used to get many patients from the bathroom, you know, taking a shower, then they fell down. They couldn't even move their leg, stayed on their leg for like a long time until somebody comes to see them.
Right.
So I've always like feared the fact going to the bathroom and not being able, maybe at that age, not being able to get up by myself. So some preparation is important. And all those things that you said. Also, the light is very important.
Right.
If your light is very dim, and you really stumble on something, it's important to have a good illumination at home and no clutter, as you said.
Right.
Nothing that we can trip on.
Right.
If we drop something and we have difficulty picking it up, we will have to find a way to do that. We can ask a friend, right?
Right.
We can ask anybody to help us prevent that, but we need to be mindful of it.
Yes, that's very true. And I should mention specifically, since we were talking about the bathroom, having a rug in the bathroom, a mat in the bathroom is good for not slipping, but also putting non-slip things in the bathtub itself, if you have a bathtub, or even in the shower. If it's any kind of surface that gets wet, there's potential for it being slippery. So, you know, they have those little small things that you can stick down in the bottom of your shower or bathtub. To help keep you from slipping in the tub itself, because that's another one too. People can die from slipping and falling in the bathtub and actually drowning themselves. So we definitely want to prevent that as well.
Okay, Katie, we talk a lot about prevention, and I didn't know that environment is really so important to prevent falls. But let's talk about the very fall. What about if we fall down? We talked about prevention, but what is the thing that we need to do right after we fall? Is there anything that we really need to be aware of doing right away? Of course, there are different circumstances for every fall, but right. Do you have some advices if, like, the worst thing happens?
Right. Yeah, if you were to fall, the first thing, if you're not able to get up on your own, the primary thing is finding somebody to help you. So making sure that there's, you know, if you're at risk for falling, try to make sure you have some sort of plan in place. You know, they have the little buttons that can be worn around the neck, little alert services, or, you know, if you have your cell phone on you, you know, so you can call someone. But if you do fall, obviously, you can't do anything until you're conscious. Hopefully, you're conscious. But trying to find somebody to help you is good. Monitor for pain. Anywhere you have pain is an indication that something's gone wrong. So if it's not excruciating and you're able to get up, then hopefully it's just a bruise or, you know, maybe a cut or something. But if there's a really excruciating pain, then something may be broken. And maybe you shouldn't be gotten up until it's by healthcare professionals, you know, emergency responders. So if you are in excruciating pain and you can get attention, have a person call 911 and so they can get you up and see if there's anything wrong.
Yes, we have an old population that it is, you know, handicapped, living alone, and you're very right that we need to have a plan in place. We need to have something like in our pockets, like always have some system of alarming others if something goes wrong with us, because I do see a lot of patients like 3-4 days after they fell, not eating, not being able to move, with different complications. So you're very right about plan prior to the fall.
When we come back after the break, we'll go ahead and we'll continue with this, talking about the falls, but then also talking about what you should do when you fall. And I think this is really important. Thank you so much. For our listeners out there, if you have any questions, you can go ahead and give us a call. If you're calling from Guam, call us at 671-472-1111. That's 671-472-1111. If you're calling from the CNMI, call us at 670-323-1113. That's 670-323-1113. You can also send us a text, WhatsApp us, or signal us at 671-686-9999. That's 671-686-9999. It's free from the CNMI. And if you're tuned in via Facebook, leave your questions in the comment section below. I see one. Leave your questions in the comment section below. We'll address them after the break, or you can send it to us via Messenger. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
There are words that are fun to say. Hullabaloo and malarkey are good examples. There are words that are no fun to hear. We need to talk comes to mind. We live in a world of words. They can build up, tear down, inspire hope, or crush dreams. Our station thrives on words. We say them, you hear them. God keeps teaching us what to say. Keep listening. Keep supporting. Words. Joy FM.
Coming your way on Joy FM.
But first, let's take a look at the forecast.
Today's weather, partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies. Looking for highs.
Let's carry the 5. This thing never seems to come out right.
And remember, God has a plan for your finances, and we understand what it's like trying to balance your budget.
What, are you listening to me?
We've all been sitting at the kitchen table trying to figure life out. That's why this station provides Christian music and programming to help you make sense of life.
Yeah, that's me, just trying to make sense of life.
So how's it going?
What?
Are you making sense of life?
I've got to be dreaming.
More music coming your way on Joy FM. But first, let's take a look at the forecast.
Today's weather...
Man, I need to go to bed sooner.
Joy FM is here, right beside you, helping you make sense of life from God's point of view. and you can support us. We're honored to count you a ministry partner.
Call Joy FM in Guam at 472-1111 and in Saipan, Tinian, and Rota, call 323-1113.
Joy FM, family-friendly radio. JoyFMRadio.net.
I'm pretty sure the door won't slam. I'm pretty sure I ordered the right food.
Are you kidding me?
I'm pretty sure there's enough gas.
Sometimes pretty sure won't cut it. God isn't interested in guesses. He wants you to be confident that he has answers that are more than just pretty sure. He shares what you need to know in the Bible. God has always been better than your predictions.
I'm pretty sure that...
But are you certain? Keep in contact with the God who knows. From Joy FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Total Health on Joy FM. Call in with your health-related questions to 472-1111 in Guam. If you live in the CNMI, we want to hear from you too. Call 323-1113 or text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. And now, here's more Total Health.
Hi, and welcome back to Total Health. My name is Rose Trina, and we're here in the studio today with Elena Tanava and Katie Yamamuro, both healthcare providers. We're talking today about falls and fall prevention. And right before we went to the break, we were actually talking about what to do in case you do fall. So when it does happen, or if it does happen. But before we get to that, we actually had a question come in on Facebook. And this person is asking what kind of shoes you would recommend.
Wow. For a person who's at risk for falls, I'm guessing, that would be something sturdy, something comfortable, because foot problems can also be a risk factor for falls. So you want to make sure that you have a comfortable shoe, and one with good tread on the bottom, that's not going to slip, on, you know, often we have tile and linoleum floors, or we're outside on the pavement, you know, with the tropical sun kind of creating a slippery surface, especially when it rains, you know, so good tread on the bottom, good soles, and comfortable. That's what I would recommend.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, that is, it's really helpful. And then also, before we went to break, we were talking about what to do in case you fall. And the last thing I remember you mentioning was having an alert system. If you could continue from there.
All right. Okay. Yeah, having some sort of plan is definitely helpful. But, you know, even more than having an alert system is addressing the issues that we've already talked about, that we've mentioned. We haven't really talked about some of them in depth. But, you know, older folks having more trouble with balance, more trouble with they're walking, more trouble with strength. We talked a little bit about the environmental hazards. So doing what we can to change our environment is helpful. Putting in grab bars, putting in good sturdy railings, that sort of thing. But then other things we can do. And, you know, I mentioned medications earlier too. A simple thing to do is have your doctor review your medications. If you're taking prescription medications, especially anti-anxiety medications or sleeping medications,
antihypertensives, right?
A lot of those have side effects of dizziness and, you know, different things like that, and even dehydration that can also contribute, as we talked about. Or if you're even taking medications, but like many of them, four or more, that also can be a risk factor for falls. So talk to your doctor, have them go over the medications that you're taking and see if there's any that perhaps might need to be changed if there's some fall risk involved. And then we talked about alcohol. Avoiding alcohol completely is the best solution to that problem, to that risk factor. There's really no safe level of alcohol consumption on multiple levels, but including for preventing falls. So, moving on to the strength and balance, which as a physical therapist is my favorite component of preventing falls. You know, we want to strengthen our muscles. We want to increase our balance. And as we get older, we tend to stop doing things that challenge ourselves. balance-wise and strength-wise. You know, and if you think of it as we have this level of potential when we're young, of what we could do if we were to really, really try, but our daily living activity is about down here. I know most of you probably can't see, but, you know, one hand way up in the air, another hand kind of in the middle. your potential is way up here, and your activity, normal daily activity, is kind of down here. As we age, if we're not pushing up toward that potential level drops. And as we age, it's gradual. It's not in a day. But as we age, then that potential gets less and less and less until suddenly one day we wake up and we realize, oh dear, I can't do what I used to do. Like that challenging component, like I can't do the push-ups that I used to do, or I can't do whatever, but I can still do my activities of daily living. But if we continue to only do our activities of daily living, pretty soon that potential is going to drop so far that it's interfering with the activities of daily living. So what we want to do is we want to challenge ourselves wherever we're at on that scale. We want to do something to challenge ourselves, strength-wise and balance-wise. If you're having trouble already with your balance, then of course you want to stay safe and do things to challenge your balance in a safe way where you're not going to fall while you're doing it, but still make it challenging. If you're not yet having trouble with your balance, then do more things to help prevent future challenges. And
I can tell you, I go to the gym regularly and I do exercises for coordination and balance. They're mm-hmm. very challenging.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I'm not above 65 years of age, but I really struggle with them. Mm-hmm. Have you tried like pulling your leg behind, with holding it with your hand? Like most of us are so unsteady doing mm-hmm. that, unsteady. And so I do challenge everyone, good. Regardless of their age, really to work on their balance and coordination, not only on muscles. Mm-hmm. Balance and coordination exercises are very challenging. They're very difficult. But the more we do it, the more, obviously, the better we'll become at them.
Right. And, you know, and both components are important. Balance exercises and strength exercises. Because if we're not doing strength exercises, then we're losing our strength. Mm-hmm. And once we get to a certain level of weakness, then that's a new risk for falls, even if we're doing the balance challenges. So we want to do both. So doing things for strength, of course, there's a whole broad spectrum of people listening right now, so all different levels of athleticism. But you know where you're at. If doing squats is easy for you, then do something to make them harder. You can, you know, I really like squats as an exercise because it's something that almost anybody can do at least a little bit. You know, I have my elderly patients just do mini squats, and that's challenging, you know. But then for the more athletes, you know, then we do 10-second hold squats, 10 seconds down, hold 10 seconds, and then 10 seconds back up, you know. So there's all kinds of different ways you can do squats, but do squats, make them challenging. Put your feet shoulder width apart, bend your knees slightly, stick your rear end back as if you're going to sit in a chair, and hold your arms out in front of you for balance, and go down as far as you're comfortable, and then if you're able to hold it for a couple seconds, do, and then come back up. Do 10 of those, see how you feel, maybe see how you feel the next day, and if it wasn't really challenging, then do more, but kind of see where you're at. See what you can do to add on to that. Doing things to strengthen your muscles around your hips, like standing at a chair, keeping your knees straight, and then just raising one leg out to the side. That's a good one for strengthening the muscles on the side of your hips. Of course, some on one side, then some on the other. Make sure you're standing up straight and holding onto a chair for balance if you need to. And then simple things like toe raises and heel raises. That's also good for our balance. That's good for our somatosensory system as well. So we want to keep all of our systems in good working order. And you can do push-ups is another one. If you can't do push-ups on the floor, then try them off the wall. All of those things help to increase our strength, and not only our leg and hip muscles, but also our core muscles, our abdomen and our back muscles. All of those are important for keeping us upright and helping us not to fall. But then, like you mentioned, the balance exercises too. An easy way you can test your balance at home for those listening is to stand probably next to the wall or next to a good sturdy counter where you can touch if necessary. Just stand with your feet together, so feet touching right beside each other, and then stand there and not hold on to anything for 30 seconds. Now, for young people, that's pretty easy. That should not be challenging. But for some older folks that are having trouble with their balance, that in itself might be a challenge. So just practicing doing that every day for 30 seconds at a time, standing, like I said, next to the wall. If you need to touch, please touch. Don't fall over. But then if that's pretty easy, then try closing your eyes. And in that same position, standing up straight, close your eyes. This one, if you do have trouble with your balance, you have somebody there with you with their eyes open. And just to make sure that you're not falling, you know, if you have decreased sensation or decreased balance, you might not realize you're falling with your eyes closed. So if either of those are challenging for you, then you need to practice those every day. If they're not really challenging, then go to the next step, and that is putting one foot in front of the other. We call it tandem, with the heel of one foot touching the toes of the foot behind. Stand that way without touching onto anything. That's usually a little more challenging. But if it's still easy, then hold that same position and close your eyes. And at some point along the way here, something will be challenging. Pick whatever your level is and work on that, whatever's the challenge. And then, as you mentioned, Elena, standing on one leg, that is a little bit more of a balance challenge. Probably do it with their eyes closed.
That's the music again, cueing us for another break. And we've only got about, I'd say about 13 or 14 minutes left of today's show. So if you have a question, or if you have a story you would like to share, or just to talk a little bit about fall prevention, what to do in case of falls, or even the kind of exercises that you do to improve your balance or strength, then you can give us a call. Call us here. If you're on Guam, call us at 671-472-1111. That's 671-472-1111. If you're calling from the CNMI, call us at 670-323-1113. That's 670-323-1113. Send us a text or WhatsApp us or signal us. 671-686-9999. That's 671-686-9999. It's free from the CNMI. And if you're tuned in via Facebook, go ahead and leave a comment or question in the comment section below, or send it to us via Messenger and we'll put it up on the show. We'll be right back after this break.
You've run like the wind, even when you weren't sure wind had legs. If you want to make ends meet, you might need a rope. You'd even let the cat out of the bag if you could figure out how someone put it in there. People say some pretty unusual things, but we hope you hear us say words you need to hear, words you understand, words that make a difference, and words that respect wind, rope, and cats. Your support helps us do that. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
Whenever you read a book or watch a movie, there's always a backstory. If it's a superhero, the backstory is what happened to make the superhero turn out the way they did. If a story in a book finds the main character on the streets of New York wondering how they got there, the backstory is the part that explains the mystery. You have a backstory. All the good things and bad things that blend together to create who you are. Sometimes we pay far too much attention to our backstory and forget to live out the present story God intended for us. Is it possible to live so focused on what might have been that we miss the what may yet be? Backstories make for great life maps, but hopefully the journey doesn't simply lead back to the same place. God's Word says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future." God gives us hope. in our future. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
JoyFMRadio.net.
And we're back with more Total Health. Give us a call with your medical questions. Number to call in Guam is 472-1111. If you're in the CNMI, the number to call is 323-1113. Or you can text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. Now back to the program.
Hi, and welcome back to Total Health. My name is Rose Trina, and I'm here on the show today with Elena Tanava, a nurse practitioner at the Guam SDA Clinic, and Katie Yamamoro, a physical therapist. And we're talking about fall prevention. And in today's program, it's been very good. We've talked about what to do to prevent a fall in your home. Also, what to do in case you fall, and balance and strength exercises that you can do to prevent it again.
All right. We were just covering some good exercises to start with. If falls are a problem for you, and if you've had a fall in the past, seeing a physical therapist would be a good idea. And your doctor can give you a referral if you realize that's a problem. We talked about hazards in the home, risk factors in the home. And one of the things that I didn't mention that I probably should was pets in the home, especially small pets. We love our pets, and I'm not telling anybody that they need to get rid of their pets, but simply be aware that pets can be a fall risk factor in the home, and especially small dogs, small cat, or cats and small dogs. So just to keep that in mind, be mindful of that and try to be careful.
Thank you, Katie. Certainly we've all experienced a fall from, you know, caused by a pet. But then it brings up the question, if we limit our activities, would that prevent future falls, or should we limit our activities in order to prevent future falls?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that question, because that is a sentiment that a lot of people have, even if maybe they haven't even thought of it that way. But as people get older and a little bit more cautious, a little bit more aware of, oh my, I might fall, that's usually what people tend to do, is, okay, I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to go there where I used to go, you know, because it might not be as safe. I'm not going to walk where I used to walk because it might, you know, I might fall, or I might, you know, I'll just have somebody else get my groceries for me. You know, that's really one of the worst things we can do. That doesn't prevent falls. What that does is it decreases our activity. And when we decrease our activity, we get weaker and our balance gets worse. So definitely don't limit your activity. Keep doing what you're doing and actually do more. That is my biggest recommendation. Do more. Challenge yourself, like we already talked about. Walk. Every person, but especially every elderly person, should walk every day, at least for a few minutes, at least for 10 minutes, but an hour would be great. Mm-hmm. But hit wherever you can in that. You know, where you walk, try to do things to challenge yourself. Don't just walk on the pavement. Try walking in the grass. You know, obviously you don't want to step in a hole and sprain your ankle. So do be careful, be mindful. But don't limit yourself because you think you might fall. That's the time when you actually need to safely try to do more.
Not to have a minimalistic thinking, right. Actually maximalistic thinking, right. In order to become stronger and better. Would you recommend some classes to our elderly population, like Tai Chi or some dance class? I don't know if it's a good idea, but right. Something that can help them build that strength.
I would recommend classes in general, some more than others, but there are, you know, if you have access to aerobics or like water aerobics, that's what I'm thinking of. Water aerobics classes is wonderful because it, you know, it takes the strain off of your joints and you can still get some really good exercise. And just being in the water is a little bit more of a challenge for your balance, you know, because you have the little bit of movement with the water. So that's a great activity for increasing your strength and your balance.
And if you fall, it doesn't hurt.
If you fall, no. You mostly have to worry about holding your breath if you fall. So that's definitely the way to go if you have access to that. Or if you have your own pool, definitely, then do your own aerobics class in the pool.
Dr. Yamamura, I'm going to interrupt you here. I know that some people would say, oh, my knees hurt or my body hurts. I can't be doing exercises. But I always encourage them, the little they can do, to go ahead and do it.
Yes.
If their knees are really hurting, do with the upper part of the body. Am I correct? Or
yes.
Do you have something to say on that?
Yes. The more you can do, the better you will feel. Certainly don't overdo it all at once. Try building up gradually. But if your knees hurt or your back hurts and or hips hurt, whatever, if it's due to arthritis especially, that means you need to be moving more. Arthritis is a disease that needs circulation. And I see that time and time again with my patients. You know, people limit themselves because of their pain, but that just ends up making them worse in the long run. You know, when I get my back patients into the PT gym and give them exercise after exercise after exercise, they start feeling better. You know, it's the opposite of what they think. We can't limit ourselves because of pain. And I know there's people out there that are thinking, you don't know my pain. And it's true. I don't know your pain. But I do know the pain mechanism. And I'm very familiar with patients that I've had that have had these same issues. And just try it. That's my recommendation. Just try it, because you won't know until you try. And so, yes, definitely do what you can. And again, the water classes or even in, you know, in the ocean where the tide isn't quite so strong, where the surf isn't too rough, you know, get out and walk in the water. You know, take some of the strain off your knees that way if your knees are hurting, you know. But do something. You can definitely do something. Yeah. Anyway,
you know, at the last part, we usually give some spiritual advice. And what spiritual advice can we give to our listeners about fall prevention?
Well, you know, there's this verse that I really like. It's actually in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 16, verse 18. It says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall."
Mm.
And, you know, spiritually speaking, how true that is. But it kind of also could go for the physical realm as well. If we have an issue and have the potential for a fall, but yet we don't seek help and we think we can do it just fine, nobody knows my issue and I can deal with it just fine myself, thanks, then you're kind of setting yourself up for a fall. So we need to recognize, we need to be humble and recognize when we need to take steps to help ourselves get better and stronger and to prevent a fall.
Having said that, I can say that many times, despite our prevention, despite everything we do, we still fall, you know, in the physical, in the spiritual way. And I really have a favorite verse from the Bible that says, the righteous will fall down 70 times 7, mm-hmm. will get up and will continue. And mm-hmm. so from, I believe in every fall, we can get a lesson from it mm-hmm. and next time learn how to prevent it. If we don't have to go into that, that's much better.
Right.
But if we do, I'm sure that we can take measures for ourselves and for those that are around us.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Certainly. So we have like 2 more minutes. Do you have more advices that we can share with our listeners? One of them that comes to my mind is to keep emergency numbers in large print near each phone, just in case, you know, you need to call somebody and you are on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your phone also having a phone on, like close to the floor, not on the mm-hmm. floor, but close to the floor so you can grab it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a large print of phone numbers, you can look at it and you can dial.
Right.
So that can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other ideas that we can advise our listeners?
Just stay active. Stay active, even when you're tempted to sit and think about your pain or whatever it may be. Try to get up and walk. Get up and move. Challenge yourself. You won't improve if you don't.
This is my takeaway from today's show. I'm going to certainly keep on challenging myself, so do you.
Thank you so much for coming on today's show. And thank you also. This is a really important topic, and it's good to know, you know, it's good to know these things so that we can prevent future falls. You know, some of us who might still be a little bit younger, maybe we live at home with people who would really benefit from this. So thank you. That's it for today. It's now 6 p.m. and Total Health is now coming to a close. If you enjoyed today's show and you want to learn more, tune in again next week Wednesday. Total Health Live is up every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m.
Be sure to check with your doctors before making any sudden life changes discussed today. Total Health is brought to you in partnership with Guam Seventh-day Adventist Clinic, where health is their mission. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Thank you and Sejuas Masi for listening to Total Health right here on Joy FM.